Word. Heavenly Father, as we minister the word today, Father, I pray that you'd help us with the words to say. I thank you that there will be open ears and receptive hearts to receive the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start a series. It'll probably be a three-part series. And it's called, It Shall Come to Pass. And we're going to take a look at the man Joseph. And this first part is, Joseph Believed What God Said. It would be the title if you wanted to see it. You know, Joseph is a great example of someone who went through a lot of difficulty, but ended up still following God no matter what, and receiving what God said he would get at the end. You know, I don't know if any of you have been to Branson and seen the at Sight and Sounds Theater, seen Joseph. Anybody get to see Joseph? I saw it three times, and I cried at the end all three times. There is not a more beautiful story of trial and hardship and forgiveness than that story of Joseph. Now, some of you that don't know about Sight and Sound, I just lost his name. I had it on the tip of my tongue and lost it. Anyway, he went to our Rhema church up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He takes a Bible story and he writes a play from the Bible story. He's a fantastic artist. He draws all of the sets, the scene sets, and then they build all of the scene sets. And so I think Noah's playing now, if they have it, I've seen it a couple of times. It's called The Miracle of Christmas. It's a great one too up there. As I looked at and watched that, and of course I've read the story many, many times, you know, we can learn two ways. We can learn from others, or we can learn the hard way. Someone said, tuition for learning everything on your own is too high. And life is too short not to look at other people's examples. In fact, Paul tells us in the Word, he says that what happened to the children of Israel happened as an example for us. Well, what is an example? It's either what to do or what not to do. You can learn both ways. You can learn that a stove is hot by your parents saying, don't touch that, it's hot, and then you can put your hand on it and find out. At 3 years of age, I learned electricity will bite you. It was in Farmersville, Texas. Dad was pastoring there. And that little, it was what they call a shotgun. He built onto the back of the parsonage, but it, what they call a shotgun parsonage. Or a shotgun house. Anybody know what a shotgun house is? It's where if you stand here and shoot, it'll go right through it because it's just one single deal. Well, the light for in that room was right behind the couch, and you just unscrewed it or screwed it in. You didn't have no switch or nothing. Well, there wasn't no light bulb in it, and I'm standing on the couch, and I'm going round and round. And my dad, he was sitting over in the corner, over in the side there at a desk studying. He said, son, you better stop that. If you slip down inside there, the electricity is going to get you and it shock you. Okay, dad. Bam. And I wound up in the floor because I jumped backwards. I had two ways to learn about electricity. From what my dad told me, but I didn't listen. I had to learn myself. Sometimes that's the way we are with things of God. We got to find out ourselves that what God said is the best way. Okay? You know, we can look and learn from Joseph. I learned what I know from two men that were in my life that were very successful in their ministries. My dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, and my father-in-law, V.E. Tipton. You know, as we look at Joseph, we can learn how he believed God all through his life. Let's turn now to Genesis 37, and we'll start with about the fifth verse. I think I'm going to read out of the NLT today. Sometimes I read there and sometimes I read the other. It depends on if it says it more, where we get a better understanding of it. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Now, they already didn't like him because he was the favorite of his father. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We're out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. So Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I had another dream," he said. "The sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered about what the dreams meant. Now, sometimes people can have dreams that will reveal the future. And sometimes they reveal something beyond the current circumstances, just like these revealed some things beyond what Joseph could even imagine happening. And almost always, when God shows you something about the future, it seems like a far-fetched thing. In a book I got out there, How to Make the Dream God Gave You Come True, I preached that message in 1980 at St. Louis at a convention. And it wasn't on my notes, but while I was preaching, I said, "We're going to have rhemas all over the world." At that time, didn't look like it could happen. That was 1980. It wasn't until 1999 and 2000 that we started. That's 20 years. You know, in between the time God shows you something or speaks to you about something, it does not mean that it's going to come to pass the next day. And there may be many challenges and things, circumstances that come your way in between the times. I had that happen with the Rhema schools, but we got them today. Now, Joseph had a choice. He could believe what God was showing him in those dreams, or he could doubt it. It's that simple. The Word of God is that simple for us today. We can either believe the Word or we can doubt the Word. You know, as we look at this today, I want you to get a hold of these facts. He never doubted any time what was real, what God had revealed to him in those dreams. He believed God even in the midst of hardship, trouble, things that said that it would never happen. You see, no matter what he went through, he continued to believe God. That's one thing I learned from my father. It didn't matter what he was facing. It didn't matter what anybody else said. It didn't matter what the circumstances were. He continued to believe God no matter what. When he left that last church that he was pastoring and went out into traveling ministry, at that time it was the beginning of what we call now called the healing revival. Everybody, all the ministers were traveling all over the country with the big tents and everything. And everybody told him to get a tent. And he said, no, the Lord told me not to get a tent. Told me to stay in auditoriums and churches. And even his oldest brother, my Uncle Dub, who was an old trucker and worked for carnivals and stuff, he said, Kenneth, hey, we can get a truck. I can handle it all. I know how to do it all. And you can go. And he said, no, Dub, that's not what God said to do. He kept doing what God told him to do, no matter what. And you would be surprised at the number of people that came up to him in every just about every place we would go to hold a meeting and say, Brother Hagin, the word of the Lord come to me and said, you're supposed to get a tent and supposed to start traveling. And if you know Dad, he didn't say anything. He just said, thank you, brother. Thank you. Or thank you, sister. And he'd just turn around and walk off, because it didn't matter what they said. That's not what he heard from God. You need to get a hold of the fact it doesn't matter what anybody else comes up and says. If it's not what God said to you, then stay away from it. I tell people all the time, some people come to me and say, well, so-and-so said I should do this. I said, is that anything that God's been dealing with? No, not really. But it's a good idea. I said, it may be a good idea, but it may not be a God idea. They said, well, what should I do about it? I said, nothing. Put it on the shelf and leave it alone. If God comes and talks to you, then take it down and do it. You know, sometimes we've got to learn to stay with what God says and not what somebody else says. Now, when it comes to the word, many people are trying to tell you, well, this is what God means when he said this. Well, wait, anybody ever heard somebody do that? Yeah, I got a few hands. Hey, God said what he meant and meant what he said, and he doesn't need anybody to help him interpret. Okay? Now, I know many times when I'm overseas and I see, well, there's the Jensen and there's Grunewald's and there's Laura and then, well, there's the Princess. And they all, you know, have our Bible schools and stuff overseas. And now, when I go, I will, if I'm in the European area or Germany or in Italy or there in the I did the Ukraine, the graduation, I let the person that's going to interpret for me, I give them my notes and I ask them to read them, because the way we would say something may not mean anything to them, or if it is something, they may have to explain it before. So sometimes I can say a short sentence and it takes a long time for the interpreter, because he's having to explain or she's having to explain. I can say a long sentence and it may be real short. And then a lot of times there's not even a word for what we say. So you see, I think sometimes, see, we don't need to, God doesn't need an interpreter. I do when I go to these places. I try to learn how to say praise the Lord in their language. And at least that makes them know I'm trying to learn something from their language. But you see, here, Joseph had a message from God. My dad had a message from God. I had a message from God when Dad said we're going to do Rhema, I knew right then that's what Lynette and I were here for. I didn't know why. I knew God told me to come work with Dad, but I didn't really know why that I ended up, you know, leaving what I was doing. You have to do what God told you to do, no matter what. No matter what. I remember, and I hope John don't mind me using this, but I was working with John, and what he had been over there in Germany working with some stuff, and they decided to close down, and they wanted him to leave. And he said, "No, God told me to come to Europe." And so he somehow asked me about something, or I called him or something anyway. And we got to talking, and I said, "Well, John, what is it?" He said, "Well, God told me to come to Europe." I said, "Fine. Just because somebody else is closing down, no time you have to, just because they say so." And so that's how we got started there, you know. What I'm trying to explain to you is, it doesn't matter if God told you, stay with it no matter what. That's what Joseph did. See, when God speaks to you and tells you something, he knows you. He knows how he can best use you in his kingdom. Doug Jones working in a factory. And the Lord told him to come to Ramah. Well, a lot of people told him he missed it. But I don't think so. How many of you, God told you to come to Ramah, and somebody told you, "Oh, you ought to do that." But was it the best thing you ever did? But see, people try to tell you everything. See, and the enemy will bring all kinds of circumstances to try to get you, even when you get here, to try to get you out. That's what happened to Joseph. But you see, Joseph kept believing in what he saw. He was around 17, I think, according to what chronological book you want to use, whenever he had those dreams. See, don't ever think God's too young to use, you're too young to be used by God. And don't ever think you're too old to be used by God. God wants to speak to young people. He wants to raise up a new generation that will believe him like us old heads did. God has no respecter of age or person or nationality. God is God no matter what, no matter what anybody says. You see, we probably won't all have a dream. In fact, very few will. And you probably won't have some supernatural experience. But God is always revealing the future to you as you read the Word. Come on now, listen to me. See, a lot of people won't know what to do with their life if they'll read the Word, they find out. Now, God will come and speak to people. But he speaks to you through the Word by the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truths. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." God speaks to us in many different ways. My dad used to say it, the best way that God speaks to us is through the Word. He will give us a witness many times of something that he is speaking to us about through someone else. Now, too many people are wanting some kind of special God to speak to them in a special way. You know, it says in Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." But too many people don't pay attention to the written word. Like I said, they want something special. They want a dream or a vision. They want some kind of sign. Some people will pray, "Lord, give me a sign," you know. Well, they might get a sign, but it might not be the right sign, you know. Some people want some preacher to give them prophecy. Hey, don't depend on anybody else to talk to you. Let the word, let God talk to you through the word and through your prayer life. Okay? Many times people will share a word that they got from someone and ask me, well, what does that mean? Well, if you don't know what it means, then put it on the shelf. God speaks according to his written word. And what I'm coming back to is the fact that many times when many people come and say something to you, and I haven't had done to me, it will be something that is completely contrary to anything that you've read in the word, or contrary to anything that you feel like God is leading you toward. Now, I'm not talking about ministry. I'm just talking about life. See, God leads people. Every time you start talking like this, they start thinking ministry. Get that out of your head. God works with people in every area of life. Not just too many times it's all about ministry. Well, it is ministry, because the ministry of helps is just as important as the pastor ministry or the evangelist or the teacher. The ministry of helps is just as important, because this church would not be operating this morning without a whole group of people that are in the ministry of helps. If it was all on me, okay, I got to sing, I got to go take the offering, I got to go watch the kids, I got to have youth train youth leaders. In fact, that's what Denise is doing this morning. They have a special youth leaders training session. They have, and you, how many of you ushers have a training session every so often? Let me see your hands. Yeah, we do. Hey, ministers, when we go to conferences and things, that's our training sessions. I don't know how many times I've been at some kind of conference and just one word that one body says sets me on a track. How many of you ministers here, that's ever happened to you? I see all of you shaking your head, raising your hand. You see, God ministers to us in different ways. You that are in business, if you'll listen and ask him, he'll show you how to do business better. He'll show you how to operate more effectively with a machine. Hey, I had dad left and I was in the middle of my third grade year, and I had to sort of learn how to do everything around the house because he wasn't there. You can ask Lynette. I can fix about anything, but a computer. Don't know nothing about a computer. But you know, many times when Dad got me my first car when I was in the middle of my senior year in high school, and he handed me the keys and the toolbox. Well, I never worked on a car before. But I knew if they're going to keep that thing running, I was going to have to do it. 1958, actually it was December 57, got me that little 53 Plymouth. By the time I got rid of that car, I had had it apart from the front bumper to the back bumper. And oh, how many times I say, Lord, I need to get this car running. Help me. And he would either send somebody by and they say, hey, Hagin, what are you doing? Well, I'm working on my car. Well, what do you think's the matter with that? I had that happen to my car. Go check this and check that. And sure enough, that's what it was. Other times, I have just felt in my, you know, I'm a senior in high school. I'm 17 years old. But I would just have this inner witness. Go check this. I'd go check it, and that's where the problem was. See, so many times we want to relegate everything to ministry. God is interested in your life, in what you're doing, wherever you're working, whatever you're doing. If you'll listen to him, he'll help you. If you'll notice, in Joseph here, and I'm getting ahead of myself now, but anyway, we'll cover it again, I guess. If you'll notice here, Joseph wasn't in ministry. He was the prime minister, became the prime minister of Egypt. He's doing political work, you might call it. Let me understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning. You see, we need to put more emphasis on letting the Word of God speak to us. We need to put more emphasis on asking the Spirit of God to bring things to us. Now, Joseph continued to believe God no matter what happened to him. His brothers sold him into slavery. He was sold on the auction block in Egypt to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to rape. He was put in prison. But I want you to notice he kept believing God. And in every place he went, even though there was adverse circumstances, he rose to the top. He rose to the top at Potiphar's house, became in charge of everything. Then in the jail, he become in charge of everything, so the jailer left him in charge of everything. And then Pharaoh had a couple of dreams. He interpreted those dreams, and things changed. But I wonder how many times in those hours of darkness and trouble and things that were going on in his life, I wonder how many times he was challenged to start doubting God. Don't look at me like that. He was a human like you and I. And every one of us that have faced challenges and circumstances, we have been tempted to doubt God. Am I right or wrong? I wonder how many times he was challenged to doubt God. As we think about that, how many times was Paul challenged? How many times in the Word was the many people, they had to believe God, but they could have been challenged to go somewhere else. You know, 13 years after Joseph had those dreams, or approximately that, he became the governor or prime minister of Egypt under Pharaoh. There was nobody in Egypt, in the kingdom of Egypt, that had more power than Joseph except Pharaoh himself. Go read it. It's in the Word. The Pharaoh even gave him his ring so that if Joseph made a decision, he could stamp it with that ring. Now, if you're from the Far East, you understand the chop. When I was in the army overseas in Taiwan, if I was going to buy a motorcycle or anything, I had to have they called it a chop. It has you just have to stamp it by your name. I guess it's the same thing as like a notary. I don't know what it is. Anyway, I know that. He had that ring. That ring meant something. You have the ring. You got God. God has given you the ring of authority with the name of Jesus Christ on it. And you stamp that with the name of Jesus. Come on now. It was another 9 years before his brothers came to Egypt, and they did bow down to him. They know who he was, but he remembered those dreams. Put it all together, and it was somewhere around 22 years from the time of the dream to the fulfillment. What I'm trying to say is, hey, listen, God, when God speaks, it doesn't happen overnight. But you keep believing God. You keep saying what God said. When I was, I think, a sophomore Bible College, Southwestern, praying in a prayer room one night. The dormitory was like a, it had this wing and then it had three wings, sort of like a W. It had three wings and a wing here, and the prayer room was right here in this corner. I was 19, I think. Might have just turned 20. I don't know. I was praying there. And I saw myself standing on a stage preaching to a crowd, and I couldn't even see the end of the crowd. That would have been, what, 59 or 60. It wasn't until... what year was it first time I went to Nigeria? I forgot. Huh? No. When I spoke to the big crowd. 2000 and something. I don't know. I can't remember. My dates get off. She asked me something. I say, I don't know when it was. We've been so many places and gone so well. I don't know what it was. But anyway, it wasn't until the 2000s that I stood on that stage there in Nigeria and spoke to that crowd of 2 million people. Remember when we come back, we showed the pictures on it? How many years in between that? 1959 or 1960 it was, one of those two, right in that area. And now it's in the 2000s? God will show you things to come to pass. Don't try to make it happen. Let it happen. You know, Joseph could have given up on his dreams. He could have doubted those. Said, well, maybe I ate too much pizza last night. Or whatever they ate back in those days. Now, when you start talking about dreams, you always have somebody come up telling you about some wild dream they had. And they said, what does that mean from God? I said, nothing. Some people, anytime they have a dream, they try to put a spiritual significance on it. And 99 9/10 of the time, it has nothing to do with spiritual things. Okay? But... and it's like my dad used to say. He said, son, he said, try to keep people in the middle balanced. He said, they either swing way over here on this side or they swing way over here on this side. And the truth is right here in the middle. See, hey, if you have some sort of dream, then if it's not anything that you think that God's been dealing with you about, put it on the shelf. Now, the enemy will try to get you off course. The enemy will even have people come by and talk to you about something. You know, I believe if I was you, I think God's wanting you to do this or do that. I know a guy that left a church because a minister that he respected came by his house one day and they were talking about some stuff, and so finally this other minister he respected said, well, I tell you what, you know, I believe God, because they were having some difficulties and trials, I believe God is trying to tell you that you should leave this church and go somewhere else. The guy did it. Good thing he didn't get a hold of my dad, because my dad will always say, if you're going to leave a place, don't leave it when trouble is. Get it all straightened out and then leave if you want to leave. And my dad used to say, and then you don't want to leave. But you see, don't focus on the wrong things. Joseph could have focused on all that's happening to him, everything that's going on. You know what? I mean, he could have harbored unforgiveness and held grudges, but he didn't. Think about it. He became number one in authority under Pharaoh. What could he have done to Potiphar and his household if he wanted to? You ever thought about that? Any of those people that come against him, he could have went and made their life miserable. He had the authority to do it. Go read it. Pharaoh gave him all authority. Is that not correct? But he didn't. He didn't get bitter. He didn't vow to get even. He didn't have the attitude every day. I don't know whether y'all understand this. Every dog has its day. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. I say all of us that are more mature have heard things like that. This younger group, they haven't heard stuff. Oh, that just means I'll have my chance. And when I do, buddy, you better get out of the way. But you see, he just kept a good attitude. He kept believing God. He believed what God said through the difficulty. If you'll go read there in John talks, Jesus talks about all these things, and he said, things going to happen. He said, I told you all these things so that in me you'd have peace. But in this world, you're going to have trouble. Didn't he say that there? Didn't he say that in John? Yeah, he did. Joseph realized God spoke to him. Now he's going through trouble. But he started with a dream. He started with a dream that God had given him. And ended up very, very, very successful. But in between, he had to keep believing God in all of his trouble, in all of his circumstances, no matter what happened, no matter what anybody said, he kept that word from the Lord. We need to keep the word of God in our lives daily, reading the word. He didn't have a word to read. He had to keep the dream that God gave him. We got the word to read to keep alive, keep us alive, meditating on God's word instead of worrying about our situation. Those dreams kept him pointed toward success, because in that prison, when it didn't look like he's ever going to get out, he kept believing those dreams because God had given him that dream. He kept believing. Every generation will have to fight the good fight of faith. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. No matter how spiritual the previous generation is. I'll just take my family. Kenneth E. Hagin. The man they said was the modern day prophet of God with the faith message. Now me. My sister. We can't live on his experience. We're a different generation. We got to have our own relationship with God. And now, my son, and my daughter, Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise, they have to have their own experience with God. I knew when God called me to preach, Craig came to me, and I never said one word to any of my kids about ministry, but they came to me. But see, they have to have, that's their generation. Now, I got five grandsons. That's another generation. Thank God three of them work for the ministry and two of them are in Rhema. I don't know what God will say or do. I've said it for years. One or more of them will go into ministry. I don't know. I don't talk to them about it. The two that didn't Rhema, I never talked to them about going to Rhema. I wanted it, but I ain't going to talk to them. This is where you make mistakes, parents. Each generation has got to have their own experience. Their own experience with God. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Your kids and grandkids cannot survive on your generation's experience. They have to have their own experience with God and believe God. And one of my grandsons put something on Facebook here a while back, and I sat there and read it, and I thought, my Lord, thank God. It was fantastic. Why? Because I've just preached the truth of God's word and let it penetrate their hearts. You get your kids and your grandkids under the influence of the word of God and let God deal with them. Now, that ain't in these notes, but the Lord brought that to me and I said it anyway and I ain't taking it back. Somebody said, well, I don't like that. That's fine. There's the door. Come on now. See, you've got to get to the point that you can stand and say, this is what God said. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care what anybody else does. You've noticed I will preach what the Word of God says, no matter what anybody else is preaching. I still give altar calls. And there's a lot of churches that don't. In fact, I had a minister say to me not very long ago, I noticed you still give an altar call. I said, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, we need to make it a little more easier for people to get born again. I said, how easy was it when Jesus died on that cross? In fact, the Word of God says, if you don't confess, Jesus said this, if you don't confess Jesus Christ before men, he won't confess you before the Father. Go read it. It's in the Word. Anybody ever read that? You know. Well, thank you, Jesus, for that extra word. You know, getting back, I got off there, talking about my generation. I was 15. I contacted a disease in my ear, fungus in my left ear. It's incurable. Dad prayed for me, didn't get nothing. Pastor prayed for me, didn't get nothing. Finally, Dad came home after 12 weeks being gone out in the East Coast preaching. And he said, son, I was praying because I was concerned because you're not getting your healing. And the Lord told me, you've heard me preach. And at 15, I'd heard him preach hundreds of sermons by then. By the time he went home, I don't know how many thousands I'd heard. But he said, the Lord told me that you're going to have to do it on your own. You're going to have to use your own faith. You're going to have to grow up and believe God. I did, and I'm healed. In fact, when I went in the Army, they did an ear test on me. They said this left ear is stronger than your right ear. And the doctor told me back there in that day, said that this ear would be bad. But it's not. It wasn't. Hallelujah. All things are possible if you'll believe. Keep on believing what God has said to you from the Word of God. Keep on believing no matter what happens. The enemy will test you. You'll have a trouble. You'll have circumstances. You'll have situations. But if you keep believing God, you'll come through them. I guarantee you that you can ask John and Michelle and the Jensens and the Princes. And there's Ray and Lois. They travel Shekinah glory. There's Vidar. All of these. I'm just using these because I can see them. I have a personal relationship with them, and I know I can use them as an example. But I guarantee you, they're all doing what God has told them to do. But I guarantee you, they've been hardships. Am I right? They've been situations. But what did you do? You kept believing what God told you to do. You kept believing what God said. Now you use them. All of you in this congregation, every one of you, God has put you in different positions. I can look and see. I mean, even my own staff that I see sitting here, my youth workers, my associate pastors, they're in a position, but they have had to deal with situations and keep believing that God put them there and doing what God told them to do, no matter what anybody else said. You know, no matter who left the staff or who didn't leave the staff, no matter what they said, no matter how many people get disgruntled, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of doing what God told you to do. Don't let somebody else influence you and get you off course so that you don't accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. That wasn't in the notes either, but God gave it to me and said it. Noah believed God, and he was saved. Abraham believed God, and he got a son. Moses believed God, and he got the children out of Israel out of Egypt. Gideon believed God, and he delivered Israel from their enemies. Daniel believed God, and he was delivered from the lion's den. The three Hebrew children believed God and walked out of the fiery furnace. Mary believed God and gave birth to the Son of God. Paul believed God on that ship. He said, I believe God as it was told me. This ship's going to go down, but we're all going to be saved. We could mention many, many more. But I want you to realize, when God finds somebody that will believe the word that he gave them, his power kicks in and things begin to happen. God didn't tell you to follow what somebody else said. He didn't tell you to believe what somebody else is believing, what they're believing for. He told you to believe for yourself. You know, many, many, many years ago, when school was first getting started, there was a guy, a young man, came to me, and there was a family that was, the man was going to school, and there was a family, and they didn't have a car, and this guy was walking to class every day. And this young man came to me and said, the Lord been dealing with me about giving my car to them. What do you think about it? I said, I can't tell you what to do. You got to believe what God and walk with God and what God told you to do. And so a couple weeks later, he came and said, well, I gave him my car because I believe that's what God wanted me to do. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's great. I mean, praise God. Now, he went home. I think it was for the Thanksgiving holidays. He went home. He came back in a brand new car. While he was home, there was a person in the church, and I don't know the whole story. I don't know whether it was a car they didn't need or if somebody had died. Anyway, they had this new car, and the person said, we don't need this. We're going to give this to you. Now, there was another man in that class that heard about that, and I heard him say with his own mouth, so, well, if God did it for him, he'll do it for me. And he gave his car away, and 2 years later, he is still walking. Why? Because he was doing something because he saw and heard somebody else doing it. That's not the way God works. God talks to you. If he don't talk to you, don't do it. Anybody get anything out of this today? Smith Wigglesworth said, there's something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people just to get to you. Believe what he's told you. Believe his word. Believe what he said in his word and go accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish in life, whether it's ministry, whether it's in the workplace. God needs you to minister there too. And I could go on, but I better hush. It's time to quit. Everybody bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I've simply tried to speak to these people to remind them through the life of Joseph how that Joseph believed you and in the end received the reward. Help us all to realize that it shall come to pass. Thank you, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place or you're watching me online and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do so before you leave here today. Or you know what it is to serve God, but you're not just where you need to be with God and you need to rededicate your life to God. If that's you on any one of those invitations, I want you to raise your hand right now because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. If you're watching there, get ready to receive. Anybody, anywhere, raise your hand. I'm looking. I'm looking across this crowd right now in the name of Jesus. I never like to have a sermon I don't give somebody an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. I don't see any hands. And if you can, bring somebody with you that needs Jesus. I like to see people receive Christ. Amen. Don't you? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I trust you got something out of this. There's two more sessions. It shall come to pass, the life of Joseph. So we'll deal with the other two as I minister on Sundays. Amen. Tonight, a special prayer time. Come and let us pray together. If you're watching online, be sure you come back with us at 6 o'clock for a special prayer time for our nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Hour of Power. Come believing, come expecting. Remember all the announcements. I did notice in here that there is quite a list for We Care items. Brother Bill, are we short on the We Care? How is it? Oh yeah, we're getting ready to try to help some people that don't have it have a good Thanksgiving dinner. So look, bring this stuff in. That's what I knew this list was a little longer than normal. Yeah, that's what we need right here. So hey, you know the Word of God says if you have the wherewithal to help somebody and you don't, it's bad. If you have the wherewithal, hey, look at that list. Go when you go to the grocery store, pick up something and bring it and put it in the We Care box. We've been actually during this pandemic time, we've been ministering to a lot of people that wouldn't have something to eat if it wasn't for us. Now, most of you don't know this, but we take a certain amount of money out of the offerings that you give, and we go purchase special gift cards so they can go and buy perishable items so that they can have meal. And they're, when we give them the groceries, we also give them one of those. Bill told me, but I forgot how much we've been spending about a month. I forget what it is. We spend at least $750 a month. How do you do? Not, well, the church does, and you the church. You do. You give at least $750 a month. That's the minimum for people that we're trying to help feed so they can go get milk and perishable items for their meal. So see, we together as a church, we do a whole lot more than what we advertise. In fact, I just had a funeral, and I want to thank all of you that helped me with that memorial service for Ray Crawford. He was a longtime friend and racer here in Tulsa yesterday. And I had several of we had a crowd all the way from over there, all the way through of the racing community that was here that I've known since the 70s, since us. And so many of them came to me and said, hey, well, man, we didn't know y'all, you had this big of operation out here, because we just don't publicize it. We spend, you guys give several thousand dollars a month to missionaries. Why am I saying all that? Sometimes I'm not one to brag or say anything about what we do. I just do it. You know, one guy told me yesterday, he said, well, you've never called a press conference. You've never done anything. Look what all you've got, man. There's something else out here. I said, hey, it doesn't matter a press conference. It's just do what God told you to do, and that's it. And that's what y'all are helping to do. Y'all can realize that you may be here this morning, but you got money working all over the world this morning that you've given in the offerings. And we never take a special mission offering. We just take it out of the offerings that you give. Amen. But hey, we need to pray for all of our Rhema missionaries right now, our directors, because the world's getting pretty tough to minister in right now. So praise the Lord. Well, I don't know why I said all that, but I did anyway. Okay? It was all good. I ain't going to take it back. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wave at somebody. Let's try to practice some of our good natural that we do in the natural, and then claim the power of God for the rest of it. All right. God bless. We'll see you.